We'll be reading God's word today from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, and then verses 25 through 34. This is God's word. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what will we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. Let's pray and ask God's help. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we pray that your spirit will be powerful, applying it to our minds and hearts so that we may see the gospel clearly and be conformed to his image. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, as Jesus teaches us to pray, he teaches us first to focus on him. That's what we've seen, right, in the first three petitions. He teaches us to pray to him as our Heavenly Father. He is the God Almighty who is in the heavens, but he is also our Father who cares for us and who is able to provide all that we need. And so we pray first for his glory. We pray first that we would hallow his name, that we would seek his glory alone. We pray for his kingdom to come. We pray for his will to be done. And so our focus is brought, first of all, to God and on his gospel, on his being, on his majesty. And suddenly, unexpectedly, I think, we turn to bread. Have you thought about that? As I reflected on this passage over the week, I realized how strange that is. God, his kingdom, his glory, bread. It's a little bit surprising, isn't it? We turn to ourselves now. We turn to our bread. We turn to our need for forgiveness of sins. We turn to our deliverance from temptation. And we might say a few things to that. We might say, finally, we're looking at ourselves. And this is usually where our prayers start, isn't it? We look at ourselves first. We pray for the things that we need. Or we might say, bread. That's not very spiritual. Why would we possibly pray for bread? Sometimes I think we think it's super spiritual to somehow ignore the things of this world, to ignore our physical needs. And so bread, that we're not really going to think about that. Or we might react like this. The gospel doesn't really tell me about physical things. The gospel doesn't really speak to my needs, to my daily life. The gospel doesn't really speak to how I am to view my wallet, how I am to view my body. We think like that often, don't we? But that's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture says a lot about our body. The gospel says a lot about our needs. It says a lot about how we spend our money and how we desire things. And the order here of the prayer is very significant. The order is careful. This prayer shows us that God is to be sought above all. And so it is natural then that it would then turn to the things that enable us to pursue his glory. It's natural. We are created in the image of God. And he created us as bodies and as souls. And God cares for both. He cares for both our bodies and our souls. We're physical and spiritual beings. All that is to say that the gospel is for humans. The gospel is for you. The gospel is for you in the very real, concrete stuff of life. The everyday stuff of life. The gospel is for you. Jesus himself knew this. He took on flesh, didn't he? The body is very important. Jesus, in his grace here, teaches us something very significant about the Christian life. Asking God for daily bread is as necessary as asking him for forgiveness. I don't think we think that usually, do we? Asking God for daily bread is as necessary as asking him for forgiveness. The body is part of God's good creation. And so we must be faithful stewards. We must enjoy it as God's free gift and enjoy it as he intended it to be enjoyed. Our physical needs, our daily bread, the things we need for everyday life, is part of God's good creation. It's not to be worshipped, making health or looks or possessions or money or all of these things ends in themselves. But neither is it to be despised or ignored. J.I. Packer has this little phrase that I love: scruffiness is not a virtue. I like that. We need to hear this. We need to hear what this petition teaches us. The gospel has something to say to your daily needs, about your body. The Christian life isn't some spiritual dream cloud where we somehow transcend the daily needs of life. Rather, it brings our humanity to its fullest expression. And so we don't ignore the body or its needs. We think spiritually about them. We think theologically about our bodies. And I think this is so important because we all know how much of a struggle we have with our daily needs and how much that impacts our faith, don't we? We know the struggles of the physical world, the struggles of our needs, and we know that that can cause our faith to stumble and can cause us to falter. And so we really need to hear this petition. We need to hear that God is tender and compassionate and cares for us in our needs. And so we should live in humble dependence on him as we seek his blessing in our physical needs. In Christ, you have been brought into the family of God. And God cares for his family. God cares for his family. We come to our Heavenly Father. We saw a few weeks ago what that meant for our prayer, right? We don't pray to God that we have to manipulate him, that we have to somehow trick him into giving us what we need, that we have to convince him to to help us. No, we come to a Father who loves us, who cares for us, and who is eager to care for us. In Christ, we are children of God, and God cares for his children. He cares for them. Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. God takes care of those who are his. That is the message over and over and over in Scripture, that God takes care of those who are his. Because we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us, it then frees us from anxiety. And we should remember that this isn't some automatic thing. This isn't a painkiller that we take that suddenly makes the headache go away. I remember and continually think, well, God is our Heavenly Father, and so therefore, I shouldn't have anxiety. Why do I have anxiety? I should stop having anxiety. No, it is true that because he is our Heavenly Father, it frees us from anxiety. But this is a process. This is something that we learn in the school of faith. That we learn as our Heavenly Father takes care of us, as we look to him. We're freed from forging, from fretting about our needs. That's what we read in Matthew 6:25 and following. That we are freed from anxiety because we have God as our Father. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what we need. And he provides for us. This does not mean that we don't plan or prepare for the future, does it? 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." There is all the difference in the world between prudence, which is wise actions for the future, and between worry. There's a massive difference. Because God is our Father, because he cares for us, we should have a childlike faith, trusting in his care. Think of when you were a kid, or if you are a kid, the freeness that you had to simply just go about your daily lives, because my parents have got it covered. They're going to pay for things. You don't have to think about bills. You don't have to think about paying your cell phone. You don't have to think about all of these things. And there's a freedom to that, right? And when you become an adult and you start having to pay these bills, reality hits. Anxiety hits. Suddenly you have to pay all these bills. But that childlike faith, that freedom to say, no, my parents have got this, is what we have in Christ. That's what we have as in our Heavenly Father. He cares for us. He does care for us. But being brought into the family of God means more than he simply cares for us. It means that we get a big family. We get a big family. We pray, give us. There's an account of a Jewish group who would only take things, who would only eat the bread of others if in absolute necessity. But they would never eat their bread alone to the exclusion of others. That is a perfect picture of what life looks like in the family of God. We will have needs, and we will have to rely on our family. And that is a blessing, that we have that family to provide for us and to care for us. It's actually a ministry of Christ. But it's also a blessing never to eat the bread alone, to always be willing to give to the family of God, and always be ready and willing to live life in that family. We get a big family when we come to God as our Father. And so we are brought into the family of God. And as he is our Father, we are completely dependent on him. When we are taught to pray, "Give us," we are expressing our total dependence on him. our total dependence. We are completely reliant on our Father for our very existence, but also for him to sustain us. Bread is really an amazing thing. I love bread. If you've seen the Great British Baking Show, they make the most amazing breads, makes your mouth water. I love bread, but bread is really just the basic needs of life. Almost every culture has bread. It's really the poor man's food, isn't it? It's a pretty good poor man's food, I think. But bread is the basic needs of life. And even for these basic needs, we're dependent on God to provide for us. Psalm 104 says, "You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart." For even the smallest things that we have in life, the smallest needs, we are dependent on God. We must receive them from his hand. And we not only ask God to give us bread, but we ask him to give us it today. You hear all the time, live for today, right? Live in the moment. But only Christians can really truly do this. Only Christians can really truly understand what it means to be in daily dependence on God. To every moment say, "God, I'm completely reliant on you, even for the most basic things." Christianity is really about the day-to-day. It's about the moment-to-moment. One of the most remarkable statements in all of Scripture is in Psalm 3. "I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me." That is a remarkable statement, and it's a reminder to us that even something as simple as going to bed and waking up again, which is something that we just assume, don't we? We just assume that I'm going to put down my head on my pillow and I'm going to wake up. But even for something as simple as that, we need God to sustain us. "I lay down and slept, I woke again, for the Lord sustained me." Now we might say that this was necessary in that day, in that ancient culture, and it's not really necessary today. And one commentator made that abundantly clear, that this was an ancient thing, because back then it was a day-to-day. They weren't salaries. You got paid for that day. You worked a day, you got paid for that day. If you got sick, you were out of work, you might die. The day-to-day cycle was very clear to them. And today we get salaries, we have insurance, we have built into our culture and to our economics things that make sure that tomorrow is going to happen, that tomorrow will be okay. But I think that's why we need to hear this all the more. Because we are no less dependent now than they were then on God's day-to-day care. We are no less dependent. And we're not only dependent on God to give us what we need every day, but we're dependent on him to bless those things that he gives us. Not only are the things we need from God a gift, but the ability to profit from them is a gift from God. Ecclesiastes 5, 18 and 19 say, "Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him. For this is his law. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his law and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God." No amount of good things in this life will be of any benefit to us unless we come to God, unless we gain God's blessing in them. No amount of good things in this life. None. As I was reflecting on it this week, one thing that always bugged me growing up was the prayer before we eat, "Bless this to our bodies." I didn't really get that. and I didn't really see the point of it. But after thinking about it, I see the point now. Even something sitting down and eating a meal, we need God's blessing on that to enjoy it, for it to be a benefit for us. Haggai 1, 5, and 6 says, "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes." That's what we're doing without God's blessing on the things that we need. Without God's blessing, it's like trying to use a remote without the batteries in it. It's just not going to work. We might have the stuff, but without God's blessing on it, we will not be able to enjoy it, and we will not be able to profit from it as he has designed them for our benefit. We're dependent on God for all of his needs. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." He does not say, "Man shall not live by bread." That's important. Bread is important, but we need more. We need the words of God. We need his blessing. And this is why the rich and the poor can and must pray this prayer. It's because without God's blessing, no amount of riches, no amount of stuff that we need will be of benefit to us. And being dependent on God is a wonderful place to be. This is a wonderful place. God loves to give to his children. God loves to give. God, think about this, God from all eternity is a giving God. He has given his son all that he is from eternity. The son has received his love from all eternity. You can't take giving away from God. And so it makes sense that as his children in Jesus Christ, he will give to us. And he loves to give to us. He is not tight-handed. He doesn't give grudgingly like we so often do. He gives freely, he gives happily, and there is no end to his resources. You cannot exhaust his stores. You cannot use up his mercy. There is no expiration date on his love. And so trust in him. Recognize him as the source of all things. See his hand, even in the smallest gifts. He is our Father, and we depend on him. And so, therefore, we must be content. We learn to be content by praying, "Give us this day our daily bread." We could finish that sentence in another day, in another way. We must be content with what God gives us. And that's true, but I think contentment goes far deeper than that. We must be content with God. That's at the root of this. Contentment is not just being satisfied with what God gives us. Contentment is being satisfied with our Heavenly Father. Do you get the difference there? That's huge. Discontentment is discontentment with our Father, not with simply the things that we have or don't have. Contentment is faith and trust in our Heavenly Father's care. It is dependence and trust in his provision of the things that we need, of our daily bread. The word "daily" means needful or necessary. We're asking here not for luxury, not for the things above and beyond what we need. We're simply asking for the things that we need. And that is a good reminder. Proverbs 30 in the sayings of Agur says this, "Two things I have asked of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." What he's praying for there is a proper attitude and proper circumstances. There's a longing here for a posture of humility before God. Not for great things, but also for a self-knowledge. He could have prayed, "God, give me riches so I can use them wisely." That's sometimes our prayer, isn't it? We often pray, "Lord, don't give me poverty." But we don't often find ourselves praying, "Lord, don't give me riches." But what Agur is saying here is he knows himself. He knows his weaknesses. He knows his sin. He knows his sinful desires. And so he prays that God would give him neither poverty nor riches. Why? So he could keep his eyes on him. So he could keep trusting in God, because he knows the circumstances of life can lead to all sorts of things, can lead us into all sorts of sin. Poverty can lead to stealing. Riches can lead to forgetting God. And so he prays, "Lord, give me a bounded life. Put me in the best situation so that I can be preserved from sin, so that I can keep my eyes on you." We're reminded here, when we say daily bread, of Israel when they are wandering in the wilderness. In Exodus 16, God sends manna from heaven, right? He sends manna, and they would go out every morning and find manna all over the ground. And they would collect the manna for that day. But if they kept it for the next day, it would go bad, right? It was a day-to-day thing, except for on the sixth day when they would gather a double portion for the Sabbath. Every morning they were to gather what they needed for that day. And God provided exactly what they needed. Why did he do this? Exodus 16:4 says this: "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not.'" This was a test of faith. It was so that they kept clinging to God rather than trusting in themselves. It is so that they would trust in him and keep their eyes on him. Calvin says this: "No one will take this prayer to heart until he has learned from Paul's example to hunger and to abound, to bear his poverty and lean times with untroubled mind, and not to be put off balance by the deceptive confidence of plenty." That's what contentment is. It's contentment keeping our eyes on God. Keeping our eyes on God. Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things that you need, your clothing, your food, housing, all these things will be added to you." C.S. Lewis said, "Aim for heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim for earth and you'll get neither." It's a good summary of what Jesus is saying there. Health and wealth and money, all of these things that we need, and above the things we need, are not ends in themselves. They are important. And that's what we're being taught in this petition. They are important. We are to pray for them. But they are not ends in themselves. They have to be put in their right place. God says here, "Seek me." Don't seek those things. Don't seek bread. Don't seek your daily needs like they are ends in themselves. Seek me. Seek my presence. And you will have all these things. Why? Because you will have God himself. That's why Paul says, "Having nothing, yet possessing all things." Why is he able to say that? It's because he has God. And he knows that God is taking care of him. Just like in the wilderness, God promised the destination to Israel, right? And he provided the things on the way to that destination. God promises the destination to us, and he provides the things we need to make it there. So don't live with a closed fist. Don't live holding on so tightly to those things as they were ends in themselves. The posture of the Christian life is an open hand. It's God, place in whatever into my hand that you see fit so that I can keep my eyes on you. Whether that leads to poverty, whether that leads to riches, whatever it is, I'm keeping my hand open and my eyes on you. Knowing that whatever he places in your hand, God will provide what you need. Whatever he places in your hand. We're to keep our eyes on him. When we pray this, that he will provide what is necessary for us, he puts us into the school of faith so that we can keep trusting in him. So we can say, whatever I need, keep me clinging to you. Not to those things, but give me those things that I need to keep clinging to you. Don't give me too much. Don't give me too little. Give me what I need. Remember, God here is giving himself. He shows us his kindness, his grace, and his mercy, even in the things of this life. They're tokens of God's blessing. But don't stop at the gift. Go to the giver. Do not stop at the gift. He is the one who makes known to us the paths of life. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Trust in him in humble dependence. He is a loving father and he cares for you, even for our daily bread. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our father and that you care for us. We thank you that we can trust in you and rely on you for our most basic needs. And so we pray that you would indeed give us that humble dependence to keep clinging to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.